Welcome to Walking in His Word, everybody. Coming at you from Cornerstone Church in Highland, Michigan. This is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to be glad in it.
Come on, somebody.
It's a mindset. It's a decision.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Man, I love that. Yesterday, Pastor Luke, you asked me a great question. We're in the middle of this message. Are you living near Satan's throne? And you asked me, what are you supposed to do? You're not supposed to just run away. When you feel that attack from the enemy, when you know that your life is being threatened, you're not supposed to just run away, but what do you do? And I started thinking about a movie. There's a movie that I used to watch a lot with my dad. It was called Behind Enemy Lines.
Oh, is that Owen Wilson?
Yeah, Owen Wilson.
That's a good one.
Yeah, it's a good movie. And I love this movie because at the beginning of the movie, it's set up and he gets trapped behind enemy lines. And at first, his goal is like, just survive. Just don't die.
Yeah.
But as the movie progresses, he realizes that he actually has a greater mission than just not dying, that his companions, like they died for something. He has a reason for being behind enemy lines, and his mission is greater than just not dying.
Mm-hmm.
That he has the ability to get information that will put these enemies out of commission.
Mm-hmm.
And so the rest of the movie is him working towards this goal. It's not just not dying, it's actually bringing victory to the U.S. Navy. And I think that's kind of how we need to live as Christians, that my goal is not simply just to not die or not have my life destroyed by the enemy, but I have a mission. I have the commission to go out and advance the kingdom of God. It's not just hold this line and don't lose ground.
Mm.
It's advance the kingdom of God. And I just want to encourage everybody out there today is to have that advancing mindset. Not just, I'm going to protect myself and not die today, but I'm going to advance the kingdom of God. I'm going to bring victory in Jesus' name to this area, to my family, my workplace, wherever that is, my school. Wherever you're at today, you can bring the victory to Jesus right there.
Let's get to the message.
Maybe you work at a place where Satan is alive and well, and God has seated you or planted you at that job with those people in that circumstance or in your family that doesn't honor God, but he has saved you. And you are the first fruits of salvation in your particular family. You're like a pioneer, the first one saved, and all around you is wickedness, and God has you right there, not to destroy you, but to give you great grace so that you might overcome and shine your light. And so Pergamos is planted by the Lord. It probably was an offshoot of the great work that God did in Ephesus in Acts 18 and 19. A great revival took place in Ephesus, and Pergamos is not too far from Ephesus. So a church probably was planted in that particular wicked, wicked city, and God wanted a church planted there. Not that the church would compromise or be overcome or go through things, and God takes great pleasure in planting churches in right next to Satan's throne because he has evil intent. No, God is good. He plants churches and people in situations and circumstances where Satan is alive and well. So why? So that we might prevail, right? Jesus talks about the prevailing church. He says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So he wants every single church, every single individual, every single Christian family to be a prevailing church, a prevailing family. Prevailing, one that's overcoming, one that's moving forward, one that's taking possession, one that's walking in victory, one that is conquering, one that is shining its light, one that is taking souls for the kingdom of God. And so let me encourage you, maybe you find yourself in a very challenging situation or circumstance, be it at your job or in the home or whatever it might be, you're surrounded by a culture that's very dark. And you might be saying, man, it seems like Satan's throne is right here. What should I do? Well, I'll tell you that what you should do. Shine your light. That's what you should do. The Bible says that the darkness will not overpower you, but that your light will overpower the darkness. Somebody say amen to that. I like that verse. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Right? Greater is, I just need to get out of here. I just need to get out of here. No, maybe God has you right there, not so that you might flee it, but that you might stand strong in the midst. And there might be people there that God hath chosen to save, and he's going to use you. And he's going to use this church planted right here in Michigan to shine our light in the midst of darkness. We're trying to get the light to Milford and to Highland and to Fenton and to Holly and to Heartland and to, well, what else is out there? Well, White Lake and Waterford and Pontiac, and we want to head down South 23. We want our light to shine all the way down to Whitmore Lake, even to go further south to that, even where Satan's headquarters is in Ann Arbor, Michigan. We want to shine our light right there. And all God's people said, yes, and?
Yeah.
Oh, you guys loved that one, I could tell. How many saw what I was doing right there before I said it? Yeah, some of you did. Yep. Praise the Lord. God loves to plant churches right by Satan's throne. It talks about this martyr named Antipas. We don't know much about him. He's not a well-known disciple, but it's interesting. God knew all about him. He stood strong, faithful even to death. The Bible says that precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. So Jesus wanted to mention him in this letter, Antipas. They say that he was burned to death in a brazen bowl as an offering to the gods. And the reason why he was martyred is because this man named Antipas supposedly was casting demons out of people as they were engaged in idol worship. And this riled up the enemy of their soul, right? Casting demons, taking possession, being prevailing, sharing his faith, bringing people into the kingdom of God. Satan says, we can't have that. Well, Antipas has his reward, the crown of life. Praise the Lord. A prevailing church is not a defeated church. It's not a compromising church, but it's an overcoming church. And that's what we need to do. We need to be that overcoming church, right? Many say that the church must change its views on sexual purity, homosexuality, same-sex marriage, and transgenderism, or become irrelevant to the culture. But I believe that the church must hold fast to the scriptures and not deny the faith. Otherwise, the Lord will come and remove the candlestick. And I want to pastor a group of people that say, Pastor, we believe God with you. We stand with you. We love Jesus. We love his word. We love the authority of God's word. We live in a crazy time. That culture is trying to move us away from that. But we stand with you. We must hold fast to truth and to the word of the Lord, right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The revelation of Jesus Christ. So he reveals himself to the church of Pergamos by saying, I am the one with the sharp two-edged sword. He mentions that in verse 12, right? A sharp two-edged sword. And so the idea here is that Jesus is coming with strong words. He's coming with strong words to this church. Words of discipline, words of chastening, words of warning, words of judgment. That sharp two-edged sword is coming out of his mouth. And he has a message to them in verse 13 where he says this, I know your works, where you dwell, where Satan's throne is, and you, I love this, hold fast to my name and did not deny my faith, even when this man named Antipas was being martyred. I mean, those are great, great words of encouragement, right? I know your works. And he says this to the church at Ephesus. He says it also to the church there in Smyrna. We talked about this on Wednesday night. He's now saying it also to this particular church. Jesus looks down from heaven to his church. We are his local church, the church in Highland. And he says, Cornerstone Church, I see you. I know your works. He knows our evangelistic outreach. He knows our worship. He knows our service to the community. He knows our love for his word. He knows how much we love to worship him. He knows how faithful we're being, holding fast to the word. He knows everything about us. But think about this. Sometimes we think that the Lord does not see and the Lord does not know, but here we are rest assured he does know. Somebody say amen to that.
I hope I'm not the only one out there that as a young boy or a young child, I would really try to do good things in front of my parents or my teachers at school or maybe the Sunday school teachers at church. You know, really, I mean, I was sharing, I was helping people. I wasn't just because I wanted to share with my younger sister or with the kid on the playground. It was because I wanted them to see that I was good. Mm. Has anybody else ever been in that boat? I hope it's not just me.
Yeah. In the summertime when the kids are at the house all day and not at school, my wife kind of changes up the daily routine a lot, and she puts up on the wall this like chore chart.
Yeah.
And the kid's name and then all the chores.
Oh yeah, I used to have a chore chart.
If they get the chore done, then they get a star. If they get so many stars at the end of the week, they get a allowance or something like that.
Yeah.
And there's this little like side quest that she challenges them on, which is, if I see you do something nice, you'll get another star.
Yeah.
Beyond just getting your chores done.
Right.
So it's hilarious to watch as the days unfold after that announcement is made, the nice things that are done in front of us to get a star.
Yeah.
And as a parent, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. And Jen and I laugh to ourselves so they can't see it. We laugh, we smile big, would you like some more chips? Would you like a little of this? Would you want to play with this toy too, brother? Oh, it's hilarious to watch that they would make sure their good deeds are seen by a parent in the house.
Yeah.
Or else, if it's not seen, then it's not worth it.
It's not worth it, right?
And I would say that is a, I don't really want to use the word immature, but like it's an elementary style way of doing nice things.
Yes. And the good thing is that we have a God. He sees everything that we do.
Yeah.
And all of our, the faithful things that we do in the dark when nobody else sees, God sees those things. That's what it was all about today.
Mm-hmm. All right. Men, something big happening this Friday and Saturday. Our men's conference here at Cornerstone Church. Check this out.
Man Up 2024 is coming March 8th and 9th. Men, you were meant for more. Man Up Conference is brought to you by Cornerstone Church and features guest speaker Ross Shear, powerful worship, and a move of God for this generation of men. To buy tickets and find out more information, go to cornerstonehighland.com/men.
Thank you for listening to our show today. You can find more information at our website, cornerstonehighland.com. Subscribe to us on YouTube. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook. We'd love to see you at church one day. Please do not be a stranger.